Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program, we like to call it Satsang, is for Saturday, April the 8th, 2017. How grateful I am you chose to be with us. We're going to be talking about the state of our living. What does that even mean? Most people don't even care. When they look at the idea of the state of their living, most of us tend to gravitate over to the side of lifestyle and how much money we have and what we can afford and all of that. But I'm going to give you another way of looking at it. I want to remind you, all of you, these radio programs, our TV programs that so many of you enjoy, are there because of sponsorship, of people who care enough monthly and or quarterly to give a gift, a tax-deductible gift, to help us serve humankind in the way that is most important, through the essence of the heart, the spirituality of our life. So I am hoping that if you find these radio programs to be helpful, if you find them to be insightful, if they help you in some way awaken to that which has been dormant within you, that you will become a sponsor and help us. Your gift goes far further than just airtime, which is what we typically use it for. It goes into people's lives and it helps them. It serves them as it has you. So consider being a sponsor for your donation. There are so many things you get. If you go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and you go to support, you will see why support Aspire. Pull that little menu down, and it will tell you everything you needed to know about how to sustain your support, how to make yourself a part of a community that is supporting everything that is spiritual by nature, and where your money goes and how it serves humankind. And from there, you can even sign up. And there are so many gifts for being a sponsor. Go take a look. I think you'll find them to be most helpful to your daily life. The state of our living. If someone were to ask you, what is the state of your living? What would you say? What is exactly the state of your living? Is it how much money you make, what you can afford, the way you can afford to live, the kind of amenities you have in your life? What defines for you the state of your living? Well, that has always been something that has been very curious to me. So I have put it out there in the form of my discourses and my message of the month, which I send to sponsors, as well as my journal. And for all of this and sending out different things to people, they write back and they say, hey, Greg, what about this? What about that? So we're going to be looking at the state of our living today, and I hope I'm able to serve you well. The first question comes from Jesse in Jersey. He says, how does your teachings help us to live a better life? Jesse, the life that you and I live, the quality of it and the state of our living is defined by our karma. Now, you have that set forth into your life a state of karma prior to this world and living in this lifetime. So the lifestyle you have now and the living you have now was already set into motion many, many years ago, many lifetimes ago. So the only thing I can help you with is not a better lifetime, but a more conscious lifetime. This conscious lifetime comes through the practice of non-duality. Neither this, neither that. There is no sense of measuring or judging what a person's lifestyle is and whether they deserve it or not, or whether or not it has any quality to it, whatever. It is not about right and left, up and down, good or bad. The quality of a person's lifestyle is not in the amenities, the objects that a person has in their life. It is in the ebb and the flow of love that lives within them. Here are the qualities that sustain a beautiful lifetime. The ability to be merciful, to be so deeply kind, so deeply loving that you forgive and give very quickly, that you have a state within you of unconscionable generosity that exceeds the ignorance you and I might have about our own life. In other words, I would do things unconscionably kind that my ego, my hubris, my vanity, my pride typically would not allow. I would not enter into the whole dimension of, well, you deserve this and you don't deserve that. I would never enter into anything like that. What happens to people happens to people. What occurs in my life occurs due to the fact of either my ignorance or my awakening. And if it is my ignorance, there is absolutely every effort I must make to understand the nature of my life and not remain in that ignorance. That is what my work is all about. That is what an authentic spiritual practice is all about. It is not about, I do this so I can get that. That is duality. In non-duality, we simply remain the witness, the watcher. We do not look at things and think, well, this will give me the advantage here, or this will take away my advantage there. We do not look at things like that. We simply see the nature of things, how they work, the way they work, and what they are. And we are not here to make any kind of theoretical change in our strategic living. The changes are obvious. Once you see what needs to be changed, which is going from a dualistic mind to a non-dualistic mind, everything then that confused me evaporates. And I'm left with this great beauty, this great substance, this great awakening inside. Suddenly, I see things for the way they are and not the way I thought them to be or the way I wanted them to be. I am not teaching specifics here in the sense that if you do this, this might come into your life. This kind of lifestyle is not one that gravitates towards meaning. It just simply is an what I call the in and out life, where things come in and things go out. And we live in the state of a tremendous impermanence. So we have these things going on. But I want you to understand, you say, how does your teachings help us live better? It isn't a better life I am trying to help you with. And yet I offer you a different kind of life. I am offering you a conscious life, not a better life. Now, in a conscious life, things change. When you are conscious, you could say, oh, well, this got better, that got worse, whatever. All of that would drop. In a conscious living, in a conscious life, everything serves the purpose of only one thing, bringing us to the meaning of our own life and the existence of our living as love. You are love. Not as a man, not as a woman, not as a worldly thing, that belongs to the earth. You are love always. You transcend this earth. You transcend your sex, your gender. You transcend everything through love. So what I might ask you is, when will you truly live in love and understand that that is the meaning of your existence? That is the question. You have to be curious. You have to be fundamentally curious about it. You must feel the largeness of your heart, your soul, your being, over the girth of your human weight, which is always telling you this isn't enough. You need more, more, more. When you are more in tune with the lightness of your own heart, your lightness of being, as it were, over the weight and the girth of your human desires, that is when things are going to change immensely. Now, whether that will be a better life to you, I don't know. I really don't know. Whether that will be a meaningful life to you, I don't know. Meaning is relative to the person. It's subjective. Better is also subjective. I would rather have a meaningful life than what you might be suggesting here as a better life. Meaning includes everything. It absorbs everything in life and says everything is beautiful, everything is important, everything is a joy. Everything. Be with it, my dear one. Jesse, I hope you can understand. It is only through non-duality, neither this, neither that. In India, it is called neti neti. Neither this, neither that, that we awaken to the causation of the beauty of love in our life. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. Non-duality, something very, very important for all of us, brings us to a sense of our own inner awakening. Next one comes from Anthony in Vancouver, Canada. Wow. Can I live in this world filled with fear and still feel a sense of safety and freedom? Anthony, we are always living, whether we know it or not, on the verge of ourselves. The only danger in my life is Gregory. What he lives for, what he recounts, what he believes in, these things all bring about a change, an insight, a livingness. Gregory is the only danger. Salvation from Gregory comes in meditation, in awakening beyond Gregory's domain, which only is in the flesh, and even then is very small. He does not see things for the way they are, because he is always seeing things as he believes them to be. But once you start to see the essence of it all, the meaning, once you realize what you are beyond the concepts and the precepts of what you believe in, you can start to understand there is no such thing as safety. There is always that chance, that risk of something occurring that has to do with my ignorance, our karma. We always live in something like that, no matter what we do, no matter what we think. We are always living in something that is occurring, that is keeping us from the nature of our own life. So when you are looking for something to bring you beauty or the existence of something that is beautiful, something to keep you safe, you are looking for something that probably does not exist. So you have to start looking at your life from a different perspective. What is it in me that brings about the beauty of life? Don't be looking for security. Be looking for love. Be looking for that which exceeds the idea of what you can believe in. And if you can do that, which you can at any moment in your life, you can live beyond the idea of right and wrong and good and bad. You can have something genuine, something meaningful. You can live in the context of kindness. Anthony, there is nothing more kind. There is nothing more powerful than that of pure kindness. Just to be kind and authentically generous, forgiving, these are the things that mean the most in this world, and we need them now more than we ever did. The problem with most of us is we are lazy and indifferent about love. We don't live in love. We live in a state of, what shall we say, controlled emotions that tell us that if we have this, we're okay. If we have that, we're better off. We try to control them through what we get and how we live in and of this world. And if I do that, then I sacrifice myself. I sacrifice my living. I sacrifice the ability to reach the heart. And in living in that way, I miss the whole thing. The whole enchilada, it's gone. Don't be worried about your worldly life. It'll have its ups and it'll have its downs. There will be danger, and then there will be something that we call safety. But you have to understand, and I'm going to say this to you, and it won't settle with you probably well. Our survival is not the most important thing in this lifetime. If survival is the only thing that is important, then we miss the whole thing. It isn't about survival. It is about awakening to love, to awaken to love as the everything of our life, the all of our life. That's the meaning of our living. That's the meaning of life itself. So don't get caught up in the whole idea of lifestyle, safety, security, how much money will I need to be safe and secure? It could be wiped out in total at any time. If I live like that, then I restrict my attentions to only live emotionally and psychologically. And it is in my emotions and my psychology that most of the mischief of my life exists. So why do that? Why live in that manner? It does you no good. It does not change anything. The only thing that brings about change is conscious living. Not separating, not pitting one thing against another. Living in the ultimate freedom as you want is to be free of being hateful, divisive. Not living a separatist life that says, I'm right and they are wrong. But rather to live in harmony with that which lives within you. That harmony exists as kindness, as the presence of a compassion that exceeds all earthly beliefs and thoughts. It is about living as love itself. In this world, there will always be wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus said. There will always be difficulties. But why worry about that? They are there. And if I have to face them, if you have to face them, then we have to face them. What can we do? They are there. The object is not to be afraid of anything. To see the bigger picture of our life is to dump the fear of our living. I hope that helps you. I do, with all my heart. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question he asks. I think it's one that most of us have. The last question from Jim in Texas. I've heard what you have to say, Greg, and I am in awe of it. So please tell me, to what do I owe life? Jim. Jim, I am grateful you have heard, you have listened. I have never met Jim. Not in the physical, evidently. I'm glad you could hear it. It is amazing that you could hear it, that you could even find me. Jim, after you know, then all that you and I owe is to live what we know. To feel the presence of love that exceeds the human confusion and doubt that most of us live in. So please understand. It is vital and important that you see and that you understand that you, in essence, owe nothing but your heart. Give your heart to this life. Give your heart to every moment of your living. Whatever you do, give your totality to it. Your total effort, your total beauty, give it all. Leave nothing on the field, give it all. And once you have understood what I am saying through the work of your energy, your compassion, your forgiveness, and giving it all, you will feel that sense of freedom, that lightness of heart. That essence of being, that totality that brings fearlessness to daily life. You will know it all. And that can change everything in the course of a person's lifetime. I love what you wrote. To what do I owe life? We owe life our living. And that's so beautiful to me, to give our living to life and to honor it through living in the merciful, because it is only in the merciful that we do anything that is eternal. Mercy is the compassion, the forgiveness, and the generosity of the unconscionable goodness that lives within us all. We all have this ability. We can do it at any time, in any moment, in numerous ways. It can be ours. All it takes is just a little attention. And every day, find something creative in you to give to this lifetime, to give to this world. Find a way just to offer it. It is enough. Just to offer. I hope you find that helpful. Jim, it is an honor to meet you somewhere in this ether and to feel your presence, not only in my work, but in my life. Please forgive me. Namaste. Rarely do I get an email like that. If you have a comment, a question, or something I can be of service to you, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. And there at the top of the page, you will see media. If you click on that, a menu will come down and it says Satsang with Siraj. That be me. Hit that button and you can email me from the website. Or you can just email me at greg@aspire.org. greg@aspire.org. Any question you have will be considered, trust me. Have a beautiful day. And please forgive me. Namaste.